Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The baseball season is way too long.
The game is way too slow.
It's so boring to watch.
Shut up. Get your peanuts, Cracker Jacks, and IPAs ready. This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch.
Swing and a long drive, deep to right.
Covering all things baseball.
Going, going.
The big leagues.
Going, going.
And the MLB to Portland.
Goodbye. He has done it. He has changed the game of the night with one swing of his bat.
Now, here are your hosts, Patrick Harris and Mike Lynch on 1080.
Bang, zoom, go the fireworks.
The Fan.
Welcome into the Hot Corner. What up, baby? It must be a Wednesday.
Hello.
I'm quite pumped about this. So much baseball has gone down in the last couple weeks. And we were off last week. And, and we're back now. And it's actually kind of a blessing, I think, because there was everything we were going to talk about last week has evolved so much more this week.
Did it?
I think so.
Honestly, I had no idea what we were going to talk about last week, so I'm a little bit surprised.
The Mookie Betts trade was all kind of That's wild, right. Which we'll get to in 15 minutes, and and where the Red Sox are going to go, not just from Mookie, but like manager stuff has all come through, and we're starting to hear players talk as spring training is really starting to, hit full gear. You know, I think we're in a crazy place right now. But I've been listening to...
Also a new playoff?
Yeah. There's so much stuff. New playoff, new rules for 2020. Like new factual rules.
They will be happening.
Like there's so much to dive into. But I listen to Buster Olney's podcast on baseball, pretty much every single day. And something I really loved about his podcast today when he opened and he was talking with Tim Kirkshen, and by no means am I trying to just do their podcast here, but something that I really took from Tim Kirkshen, who is at camps and traveling around, and Buster's about to get there himself, is Tim Kirkshen started talking about how he doesn't love covering stories that aren't about on field. Which spoke to me because that's how we like to do this show.
Yep.
We like to talk about baseball. We don't want to get into Pete Rose again. We don't love getting into steroids. We don't want to get into the off the field stuff. We want to talk about baseball. And Timmy was kind of saying the same thing. He goes, as a journalist, I will always cover these stories. I'm happy to cover these stories. But the best part about walking into spring training is you get excited about baseball again. And I think we're here now. By the time we come back on the air next week, everyone will have reported.
Yep.
Everyone's ready to go. And we get to start talking about the 2020 season.
We get to start our divisional previews.
Exactly. And then we're a few weeks away from Big John, which are always our favorite shows. And that's where we are. And I wanna just like kind of start on that high note.
It's weird. It kind of came out of nowhere this year to me. Like, we were like, oh, spring training's coming soon. Pitchers and catchers are coming soon. And then all of a sudden it was like, oh my God, it's today. Oh, it's happening right now.
I saw Marcus Stroman throwing off a mound the other day, like a little video on Bleacher Report or something. And I was like, oh yeah, Marcus Stroman.
I've seen
Garrett. You're in New York.
I've seen Garrett Cole.
Oh, and you're like, woo. Yeah, you get all excited. Yeah. So I'm a big Reddit guy. And, obviously I follow the Indians subreddit, and everyone on there is like, we need to get Jock Peterson now. like that Angels deal fell through and it's like, we need him, go get him. And I was just, it was just such a relief, you know, all this Astro stuff and Alex Cora and the fallout from that, which we will get to today because there's no way we can't.
And apparently tomorrow or Friday, I saw on Bleacher Report that they're going to make their united team front and say what they're going to say.
Which is going to be, which we'll get into later, but is going to be the most garbage thing you will ever hear.
do we know what they're going to say?
If they're doing it on a collective front, they're going to be like, hey, guys. You know, it's going to be AJ Hinch, but the 25 guys.
Okay.
That's all it's going to be.
Possible.
You know, and we'll get into all that kind of stuff later. But I think right now, it's February 12th, 2020. We are 5 days away from full-on reporting. And it's baseball, baby. Here we are.
And that's why I said, I don't know if I'm fully ready for it yet. It's like, it's here and it's exciting, but for some reason.
Games start on like the 20th, 21st, something like that.
Spring training games?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's insane. That's 8 days from now.
I know, baby. Let's go. So like, let's go.
10 a.m. MLB Network. There'll be a game on to watch. That is a good feeling, but it also gets me a little bit nervous too. It's like, it's supposed to be a good year for your team. Or at least my team.
Well, I can tell that you probably have a lot of nerves.
Yep.
There's a lot of pressure.
There's a lot of pressure.
A lot of pressure on the Yankees this year.
James Paxton got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Like, great, yay.
You know, but I'm hearing amazing things about Masahiro Tanaka right now.
Oh, really? That's
good. Yep, that he is ready to go, focused, locked in. You know, I think the Yankees have a chip on their shoulder because of the Astros in the last couple years. But you guys all, you know, and I don't, spoiler alert, I don't want to dance around this because we'll get into it later. In the American League, you guys are my favorite.
Oh, for sure. I think most people.
And it's not even close.
Yeah, I think most people will pick the Yankees to be their favorite.
And to be honest, it's not even a Gerrit Cole thing. It's just, this is what you guys have been going to. And I've got my own stories that I got to deal with. Is Frankie going to get traded? Are we going to be any good this year? What is
Mike Clevenger going to hit every Astro when you face him?
Yeah. Is Clev going to pitch well? You know, what, you know, is Biebs going to look good again? Who knows? We've got issues in the outfield. Are we going to trade for Jock Peterson? All this kind of stuff. So, like, I'm excited. We're back into normal baseball stuff.
You know why it's a little different for me this year? Because the last 2 years, the news cycle has been so weird in the offseason that it's like all you're waiting for is like, please just baseball come back so that we can stop this BS. This year, we've had baseball consistently. We've had news the entire offseason. Maybe a couple of weeks here and there were a little bit slow, but it's maybe that's why. Maybe it's because it felt like it never left.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. We've been so lucky. And, you know, people ask me all the time, you know, they're like, oh, yeah, you do that little rinky dink radio show, huh? And I'm like, yeah, yeah. I mean, they don't say that, but I'm narrating that.
Right.
But it's like, yeah. And they start talking, you know, like how, you know, what do you talk about in the off season? And I'm like, actually, this year, baseball's been fantastic. It just keeps coming. There's a bunch of stories that I don't want to talk about. I don't want to deal with all this stuff. This non on the field kind of Astros crazy thing, but
the Pete Rose thing,
you know, and we'll get to that at some point. I don't know if we'll get to it today, but you know, we can get to it at some point, and the gods keep loving us. And then today we get news about some new rules that, you know, we're definitely going to get into tonight. And the thought of future playoff stuff, which we'll get into tonight. And it just, yeah, baby, let's go.
It's baseball season.
It's baseball, baby.
And that means that all is right in the sports world when it is baseball season.
Yeah. Oakley Dougley. So we got a lot to get to today, a ton of stuff to get to, and I'm sure we won't get to all of it. But I'd like to touch on, where do we start? I'd like to touch on the Boston Red Sox have an interim manager for the season. We'll need to get into that. There's more Astros fallout. Their AJ Hinch has spoken. But where I want to go first is on the field stuff. The Los Angeles Dodgers have traded for one of the top five, top 10 players in Major League Baseball.
We haven't talked about this yet.
We haven't. We were going to get into it last week, but then the deal was kind of shaky and we didn't get the chance to talk. Now the deal is finalized, so we can get into that, and we'll do that first. You can find us on social media, Mike's at MikeLynch27 on Twitter. You can find our fantastic producer, Mr. Joe Fisher, on Twitter as well, at JoeFish3. That's F-I-S-C-H. Three, harass us. We love it. You can find me on Instagram at pdiddy085. There's also the Beers on Us podcast, which will drop tomorrow around 4. You can get that at Beers on Us on Instagram. Should be a cool thing. I haven't told Mike what we're doing. He doesn't know it yet, but I think it's going to be a really cool thing.
Okay.
So we have something cool for you guys on that front. There's the fan text line 55305. That bad boy lets you interact with us throughout the entire show. Blazers are down by 10 against Memphis right now. We'll keep you updated as there's just 2.5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. When we come back, the Boston Red Sox have traded one of the best players in baseball to potentially what is now the best team in baseball. And we'll do that next. This is the Hot Corner on 1080 The Fan.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
I just want to throw a quick shout out to these Memphis Grizzlies jerseys.
The classic Vancouver Grizzly look is quite nice.
You know, as a kid that grew up in Vancouver in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Not Canada.
Not Canada. I remember, you know, Sharif Abdul-Rahim in one of those jerseys, and it just that Vancouver Grizzly thing is so sexy.
Have you seen the court too? They made the court more old school, like they got the big bear in the middle.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's so great. Oh yeah, yeah, that looks fantastic.
People really hated that look. I always enjoyed it. I really enjoyed kind of the cartoony looks that came up in that time, like the Toronto Raptors too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
People hate that Raptors.
Yeah, Grizz logo. And Raptors were kind of around the same time.
These are pretty cool. I don't know what you're talking about.
Hassan Whiteside, John was somebody, as the Blazers are for sure about to lose this game.
Well, him and
Jonas Valanciunas.
Yeah, Valanciunas got into it earlier, and he called him soft. I guess it's happening again.
And then Whiteside just looked at him and he said, the quote, the greatest quote ever, come at me, bro.
Flexed at him.
Flexed. Look at that.
I have a Vancouver Grizzlies snapback. I've had it for for a few years now. Yeah.
Ooh, hold on to that, baby.
I always loved the Vancouver Grizzlies look and everything. Yeah. So I'm very happy that they did that this year.
Yeah, hold on to that. All right. In Major League Baseball, we got the craziest thing. I mean, like, if you step back for a second, a lot of this stuff doesn't really happen. How often can you remember that a top five, potentially top three, and in some circles, the best player in baseball being traded?
Babe Ruth? Same team, too.
And that's it. That's like the last thing I can think of. I
guess Nolan Arenado getting traded, if he does, would be that as well, right?
Yeah, maybe. But in terms of an MVP, also a World Series MVP, being traded from a very strong money-driven organization, in the sense of the Red Sox have a ton of money. They are able to spend money. I'm aware of this because I am a Liverpool fan, and we spent money when we needed to, and we real good right now. The idea that not only is the Boston Red Sox trading Mookie Betts to the Los Angeles Dodgers, it's a wild thing for me to think of.
I am still in shock that they did it. I saw a ton of Red Sox fans on Twitter when the trade kind of got held up for that one prospect from the Twins say, well, then just don't do it. This is your sign. This is the sign from God to not do that trade. It is
too bad God's a Yankee fan.
Hey-o. It is so moronic to me that you trade Mookie Betts. And what do you even get in return, right?
In my opinion, not very much.
Yeah, you got
David Price off the books for half of his money because you're still paying half. That's the only plus I can see in this.
You got Alex Verdugo, who was a highly rated prospect, came up to the majors last year, played pretty well.
Yeah.
And you got, I forget who they switched into it. It was a different player from the Twins who went from the Twins to the Dodgers who went over. I forget who it was. They got two players. You got two effing players for Mookie Betts and David Price.
Yeah.
That is an absolute joke. If you're trading Mookie Betts, you should be getting a starter quality player, multiple prospects, and draft picks. I mean, that's like bare minimum for a guy of that quality. And it made it even look more and more like, that the Red Sox were just purely bailing on the salary and not even considering what they could get back. I mean, This is Mookie Betts we're talking about.
They punted on their luxury tax. They knew that they were going to be big because they've got terrible deals with David Price, and they've got terrible deals with Chris Sale and JD Martinez, and they knew they had to do something to recoup that, and their answer is to trade their number one asset. I don't understand it. I think the Red Sox are in a straight free fall. I don't think this is at the level, you know, we can laugh about the Babe Ruth thing. I don't think it's on that kind of level.
Right.
Because, you know, I like Mookie. I find him a top five player and top 10 player in baseball. But this, I said this about a month ago on this show, that there is no way Mookie Betts is wearing a Red Sox uniform in 2021. And I'm not trying to sit here and say, hey, told you so. But I thought he'd at least play half the year for Boston.
Because you could drum up interest, right? You could get teams that
anything,
are desperate.
Anything. He comes out the gate and is that classic Mookie that we know Mookie for, and bam. Now you're getting nothing. And you traded him with David Price because you needed the salary cap relief?
Well, I mean, to be
fair. That is ridiculous.
To be fair, David Price is more of a throw-in. I mean, David Price is no longer that great of a pitcher.
Understood, but his salary, 3 years, $96 million. That is why they got nothing, because they needed to package Mookie with David Price. That's where I think this whole thing falls apart. I think if you are trading just Mookie, even though he's a rental, you are getting so much more than what they got. But because they had to offload some kind of contract, they got nothing. And he's never going to play for Boston again.
Yeah.
Unless he does the ultimate ruse of all time.
He won't.
But he won't.
No, I feel like there's a couple of ways you could look at this. One is obviously he demanded a lot of money in the contract negotiations. What was it, like 4 years? Not 4 years, but he wanted $400 million, right? Mm-hmm.
He wanted 10 years, 400 mil.
Mike Trout money.
He wanted more than Bryce, knew he couldn't get more than Mike.
So he said that to the Reds, and they say, no, that's too much. I also wonder how much of it was Mookie Betts at that point just wants out of Boston, right? Does he just say, look, I enjoyed my time here, but I don't love the city. I don't love the fans. I get to be a free agent next year. There's no guarantee he's going back to the Dodgers, by the way, either.
Truth. I actually think he's going to be a Padre, my opinion.
They do like to spend their money. They almost got him too. They were the other team in the trade talks.
Yep.
It's just strange to me. He wants to test free agency, and that's fine. But I don't put any blame on him, I guess, is the way I'm going to. I put all the blame on Boston for training him and not giving him enough love.
I have nothing against Mookie on this. Nothing.
I mean, the Dodgers are brilliant for getting two of those players for what?
Nothing. Right? Their farm system is still loaded.
And they got rid of Kenta Maeda to be part of the deal, and they got rid of Jock Peterson to match money. But you're getting rid of basically a number three starter, and
well, that Jock Peterson deal fell through.
Oh, that didn't go through?
Didn't go through.
I thought that was part of it.
No. That was a separate trade with the Angels, and it fell through.
Okay, well, he's still in the Dodgers then. I was going to say, Jock Peterson is a home run hitting .220 average. He's exciting.
Decent outfielder.
Good personality, but
decent outfielder.
Yeah. Okay, so he's still in the Dodgers. I didn't see that part fell through. I thought that was all connected. It's just the Dodgers won 100%. I mean, there's no guarantee that he re-signs, but for a team that has lost a couple of World Series in the last few years to go out and get the, third best player in baseball, it's like, hey, we're already the best team in the National League, and look at who we just got. And we give up Kenta Maeda for David Price, which I'd say is it's probably a little bit leaning towards Price, I would say.
And I would say that,
guess what? He doesn't have to face the Yankees in the NL West.
Yeah, and I will say this about David Price, and you and I both on this show have been very critical of David Price. We've been very critical of him, and rightly so. But I will tell you this. If I'm the Dodgers, what I want from David Price is so much better than what the Red Sox wanted from David Price.
Right, because they got him to be an ace.
They got him to be an ace.
And
the Dodgers are like,
to be their three.
Yeah, they're like, hey, man, you're good. You're good. You know, Walker Buehler's here. We got this, you know, first bout Hall of Famer named Clayton Kershaw. And if you can just string together some good starts, there's no pressure on David Price. There's no pressure on David Price. I actually think for him, if you're a fan of David Price, LA is the best spot for him to be right now, because he can just go and pitch. And if he has a bad start, he's going to be like Kenta Maeda. You know, oh, Maeda blew it today. And Dodger fans, you know, aren't going to be that upset. Not as much as if Walker Buehler gave up a, you know, got blown out on a game. I think it's a good move.
Oh, it's great.
For Price.
It's a great move for Price. It gets you out of the division that you were struggling in. You've pitched almost your entire career in that division,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
He was on Tampa, Toronto, and New York, also Detroit.
Yep, a small stop in Detroit.
Yeah, so you get to go to a new league, which hasn't seen you pitch that often. That's always beneficial for the pitcher, at least
early
on.
He's been a decent hitter, too. I'm excited to watch him hit.
Oh, I didn't know that, yeah. It's a good fresh start for him, and it's a good fresh start for Mookie, and it's great for the Dodgers. So, from their perspective, this is a huge win, but I just keep going back to Boston being absolutely morons for letting him go. I just do not understand it at all. You are the Boston effing Red Sox.
Yep.
Yeah, you want to get under the luxury tax, but you also have one of the best players in this generation.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's some concerns that maybe because of the sign stealing that he's not as good as we think, right?
And I actually think the sign stealing might be why he wanted out.
That's possible.
I have a feeling that he was just kind of like, yo, I don't like what's going down here.
It's possible.
I don't want to be a part of this.
I mean, he would never say.
He's never going to say that, but I wonder if that's a factor. Like, this is a sinking ship. I want out.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you lose the coach, right? You're the best player, but there's been some. Last year was a weird season, even though the team was good. Your bullpen's awful. Your starters were awful. Chris Sale has all these question marks about his health. Price is now gone. Porcello's now gone. It's like, what are you doing? You know, what's the future of the Red Sox? You were part of it. It was the Killer Bees. There's still a couple of them there, Bogarts and Benintendi, et cetera. But, I mean, that's, just get out now while the ship is sinking before you get filled up with water.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I want to stick with the Red Sox because they have made some moves and we are getting to spring training. So I want to get to that next. But first, here is my man Joe with sports.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
.733 here, .734. Blazers lose. Shocked, I tell you, shocked.
You know, I will say that I felt like these two games, the Pels and the Grizzlies. Everyone was saying they felt like must-win games because you were kind of around them in the playoff race and whatever.
Yep.
And you lost them both, pretty ugly fashion. And guess who got hurt in the game today?
Yeah.
Damian Lillard walked off with what looked like a groin injury, and he had a limp. I'm not saying that to be happy about it. I know I sounded kind of jingly and happy about it.
Shut her down.
Be careful what you say in my ear while I'm talking, Joe. I don't want to repeat your words.
Was that in my ear? That was not live? Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, you can't say that live.
I don't know. Like, do I have to hit the dump button on Joe? That'd be a first.
Well, you can't. There's only a dump button next to him. He'd have to do it on himself.
Let's go. Woo! Love it.
Yeah, so they lost Lillard now, too, maybe not serious, but...
Well, this is their last game before the All-Star break, so, they got until next Friday for his groin area to get all...
Yeah, but you wanted to see him in the three-point contest and wasn't he in the skills contest, too?
I mean, like...
He was probably going to be the favorite in the three-point contest.
Wasn't he already in one or two?
But they didn't have 40-foot shots in those.
They
added the long shots. Okay, I get it. Wake up. I get it.
We were talking about the Boston Red Sox earlier before. I get it. And I want to continue on this free fall because it's not very often that we get to just kind of laugh at this organization. I think this organization is laughable right now.
Yeah.
They hire Ron Renicky to be the interim manager.
Former Brewers manager.
They have an interim manager going into spring training. I would love to see what team in the history of baseball has done it, let alone a high-profile squad like maybe, say, Yankees, Red Sox, Giants, Dodgers, Cardinals. You know, I'd be interested. Like, the Mariners have never had an interim manager at spring training.
It's weird that they didn't just give him the job. Why are they naming him interim?
They named him interim because he's the bench coach for Alex Cora. And
so they don't know if he's
they
gonna
don't
lose his
know
job
if too. He's gonna lose. They don't know what Major League Baseball is gonna do. They're still waiting for their punishment.
That's true. They were waiting for that, and then because spring training started, they're like, well, we kind of need a manager.
So go get a manager. Go find somebody. Go do this. And if you want to keep Renicky as your bench coach, which he has been for the last 2 years, won you a World Series, if he loses his job, then you lose a bench coach. You don't lose your manager in spring training. Like this, I actually wonder how far back they knew they were in trouble. Because they fired Dom Dombrowski, and we were like, you know, hey, he made all these moves, won a World Series, but the sale contract looks terrible. The Price contract looks terrible. The JD Martinez contract looks terrible. By the way, said here first, that cost him his job. But I wonder how much of that actually played into it. And I wonder how much of this Alex Cora cheating stuff played into Dombrowski getting out. Because look at the Astros. GM and manager won't get jobs.
I wouldn't go that far.
I'm just saying.
What was there's a guy on MLB Network, I forget his name, he's a former GM or former front office guy, and he said he'd hired AJ Hinch in a second. And it's like, you scumbag.
I mean, you love AJ more than I do. I don't hate AJ Hinch, but you like AJ more than I do.
I do. I think he's a good manager.
Is he?
Well, I mean, I think he's a good literal manager. I don't think he's apparently he's not very good in the clubhouse or having enough control in the clubhouse.
I'll tell you what, I can win a World Series with a star-studded team that's cheating too. So does that make me a good manager?
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah, baby. Sign me up.
Patrick Harris, manager of the year, 2017. Let's go.
Yeah, got that ring.
I think it's possible that Dombrowski left for just the bad contracts too.
Or maybe he just saw bad contracts, this Alex Cora thing, like, this is not a good idea. I don't know if I want to be around here. I've just never seen a team this prolific in any major sport take a fall this hard. Because look at the Saints.
The Astros say hold my beer, but
well, I know that
we don't know if they're going to take a fall.
Right, yet, right, right. We don't know because they have great players. They're not trading Alex Bregman. They're not trading Jose Altuve. They're not trading Verlander, Springer. The list goes on. The Red Sox are trading Mookie Betts. When the Saints dealt with Bounty Gate, when the Saints got busted for the Brett Favre thing and paying guys to hurt people, yeah, Mickey Loomis was suspended for a year. Sean Payton, suspended for half a season. Guess what? Who's the current GM of the New Orleans Saints right now?
Sean Payton, still?
Mickey Loomis.
Oh, is Loomis the...
Who's the head coach of the New Orleans Saints right now?
Sean Payton.
That team survived.
Yeah. The only, Greg Williams didn't, right?
He was the fall guy.
Yeah.
And he was in trouble. He's the Alex Cora in this situation. But he didn't go to the Dallas Cowboys to be the head coach. To where Alex Cora went to the Boston Red Sox and became the manager. I can't remember a time in my entire life watching baseball where a team this prolific is taking such a shot. How many games do you think the Red Sox win next year?
Ooh, I wonder what the over-under on them is.
85? It's got to be.
I bet you. Okay, so you're in a tough division, right?
I'm taking the Rays over them for sure. Obviously the Yanks. Could the Blue Jays win more games than the Red Sox?
Maybe.
Who are the Red Sox throwing?
Well, let's go to our good friends at Roster Resource.
Oh, I just want to know that. I just
first
want you
have to
know,
go to Fangraphs.com now.
I just want you to know that the founder of Roster Resource is getting inducted into some sort of, not the Baseball Hall of Fame, but like some sort of recognition for being the dude.
Now you have to go to Fangraphs.com, and then there's a tab on the top for Roster Resource. So it's a little bit less convenient, but it's the same great quality content that we've learned to love. All right, Red Sox, depth chart, loading. Please wait for all our song for time.
Okay. There's nothing I love more than watching a giant team fall.
Currently it is.
As a fan of small market teams, whether it's the Portland Timbers, Portland Trailblazers, or the Cleveland Indians, I love it. I'm going to sit back.
Right now,
I'm a Terrell Owens fan. Give me my popcorn.
They're going Chris Sale.
Okay.
Eduardo Rodriguez.
Eh.
Nate Eovaldi.
Overpaid.
Martin Perez.
Never heard of him. I'm joking. I'm joking.
And this guy you probably never heard of, Matt Hall.
Yeah.
Who dat?
Yeah.
And they don't have any injured pitchers either. So it's like, they're not waiting for anything. That's their team. And their lineup, I mean, the lineup's still good.
You think Chris Sale's going to be good this year?
I don't know. I mean, look, I know
Chris Sale. You think Nathan Eovaldi is going to be good this year?
I don't think he'll be good. Chris Sale is a good pitcher. I know he's had the injury issues, but
Chris
Sale
was a good pitcher.
He still is.
I don't know if he still is. 2019 didn't tell me he was a good pitcher.
Well, his first half last year was great. Second half, not
as much. And then an absolute disaster.
But their lineup is still very good. Their lineup is Benintendi, Devers, Bogarts, J.D. Martinez, Mitch Moreland, Michael Chavis, who had a good rookie year last year.
Yeah.
Verdugo, Christian Vasquez, and Jackie Bradley Jr. They're still a good lineup, right?
I mean, Jackie Bradley Jr. might be the most overrated center fielder
in
baseball.
Ninth hitter. Who cares?
But yeah.
He's a good fielder.
But I think their staff is terrible. Tell me those relievers. Who's in that bunch? See what I mean? This team is not good.
Their closer is going to be Brandon Workman.
This team is not good, and they just traded a top five player in baseball.
Matt Barnes, Josh Taylor, Heath Hembree.
Matt Barnes?
Darwinzen Hernandez.
The basketball player is going to throw pitches?
Yep.
All right. I love his podcast.
Colton Brewer, Austin Bryce, he's from Miami, and Marcus Walden.
What on earth made you say he's from Miami?
Because
what does that mean?
I recognized the name and then looked to the right, and it says acquired Miami 2020. I went, oh, okay. That's why I recognized that name.
Michael, this team is bad.
Shh. Don't get me too excited.
This team is really bad. And it is of no fault but their own.
That I do agree with. They overpaid for a bunch of pitchers, right? They overpaid for David Price. They overpaid for Chris Sale. Didn't feel like an overpay at the time, but clearly, you know, there were concerns about his body falling apart even before that. You overpaid for Nate Eovaldi, right?
Without a doubt, because he had one great run.
Yeah, you were. And it wasn't even a full season. It was just
they
acquired him and he was great at the end of the year.
Yeah,
and
it's like Ja Morant. Like, he went 2 overall and I was like, wow, guys, God, you love watching the tournament and just picking someone that's really good.
He's been good.
Yeah. He's been good. But the Red Sox have not done that well.
Yeah. So they've overpaid for a bunch of pitchers, and guess what? If you're going to let Mookie Betts go, what happens when the other guy's contracts come up, right?
Well, you're counting your lucky stripes that you got Xander Bogaerts for another 6 years, something like that. I don't know exactly what his contract is.
Well, but he's probably your best player, right?
Well, now he's your best player. Now, I like Xander Bogaerts a lot. He's the only guy on the Red Sox that I really loved just because he was a good shortstop, plays great defense.
Yeah, 6 years, $120 million for Mr.
They locked him
Bogaerts.
Up when, like, the Astros were locking up Bregman and the Braves were locking up Acuna. And it was, like, these young kids that needed money. So instead of testing the market, they just signed deals. And they got Bogaerts. But, I mean, that's your best player. There's no doubt in my mind that the best player on the Boston Red Sox is Xander Bogaerts. And the gap between Xander Bogaerts, who I love, and Mookie Betts is astronomical.
Also, don't forget this, and I'm sure you'll get to it later in the show. 26-man roster now. I just saw that pop up on my screen.
I know, it's so weird.
Projected 26-man roster.
Okay, cool. We need one extra dude. Give me that lefty specialist who can only pitch to 3 guys. Anyway, so that's it. And I think 2020 is going to be a very interesting year for the Red Sox. If you are a Red Sox fan, let us know what you're thinking. 55305 is the text line. I worry for you guys. Now, as an Indians fan, I love to root against you, but I also love to root against the Yankees and the White Sox and the Rangers and the Angels and the Astros and the Mariners. You know, I hate everyone in the American League. But if you're a Red Sox fan out there, let us know. Are you worried? Because I'm worried for you. And you can hit that at 55305. When we come back, some Astros of the 2017 team, mostly people that aren't currently on the Astros, have been speaking lately, and I would like to get into that, and we'll do that next. This is the Hot Corner on 1080 The Fan.
With Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
.750 here on Portland Sports Leader. Don't you forget it. I don't know how many times I got to say that, but yeah, we number one. We like to brag about it.
I don't know if we like to brag about it. You like to brag about it.
I love to brag about it. I mean, I don't work here. We just show up once a week.
It's sort of like working here.
Well, yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
They do pay me. So it's all right.
I
brag.
When you get paid.
I brag. The brewery I work for just won 9 medals at Best of Craft Brewery. Best of Craft Beer Awards.
Oh, really? Very nice.
Yeah, I know.
Very nice.
Including my homeboy Dylan picked up 3 from our specific spot. So, you know, holla at your boy.
There you go.
Apparently, we're a hazy brewery now.
That seems incorrect, but okay.
Gold in what rough beast? Gold in biotransformers. You know, hey, there we go.
Well, hey, you make two hazies, you win gold. That's good.
Golden Breakside IPA, too.
That doesn't mean you're hazy.
Golden Breakside IPA, too. What up? She's still got it. She's still got it. Anyway, we're talking about, you know, the Red Sox and the fear of them, but I want to slide this, and we just can't get away from this. As much, we were talking about this in the first segment. Like, Mike, you and I love to do this show about baseball.
Love baseball.
We don't love to talk about things that aren't on the field. We're not big fans of it. We'll do it.
You are
like
way-
Tim, like Tim Kirkshin said, we will cover the stories when they are necessary, and we are happy to cover them. But I would much rather talk about a pitcher-batter matchup.
You are way more adamant about not talking about it than I am, but I tend to agree that it gets repetitive. There's only so much you can say. It's drama more right. than the game.
Right. And I think that's, you know, I would argue that's the biggest problem with the NFL. I mean, that's my biggest problem with the NFL is that they spend way too much time talking about what's not going on the field than what's actually going on the field. But hey, we're in, you know, we're in steroids part due right now in the sense of a big situation taking over our lives. Now, some players and managers that were a part of the 2017 Houston Astros team are starting to speak. And you alluded to this earlier. The Astros and their collective are going to speak tomorrow. Is it tomorrow?
I think I saw tomorrow.
It's either tomorrow or Friday. Are going to speak about the 2017 thing. It's going to be a joke. It's going to be an absolute joke. It's going to be mailed in, lawyered up, like, hey, I don't know what you're talking about. It's going to be Jason Giambi all over again what it's going to be.
Maybe it won't.
Maybe it won't.
Maybe they'll come out and say, look, we screwed up. Let's apologize for this, and we apologize that our manager and GM got fired for it, and we were just trying everything we could to win, and we didn't realize, we did realize it was wrong. But
and I'm so sorry
ourselves.
That we made a deal to keep our jobs and throw other people under the bus, but you know, hey, that's that's the Major League Baseball Players Association.
True.
But we have heard AJ Hinch speak on MLB Network. Marwin Gonzalez was interviewed yesterday. I want to start with Marwin Gonzalez. Played for the Astros in 2017 and 2018 as a free agent, signed with the Twins. He is still on that roster, and boy, spoiler alert, they look good. They could be real good.
Yeah.
The Twins, as an Indians fan, I hate the Twins with all my heart. I'm a little scared of them. He came out and was very, very remorseful. I feel... The interview that I'm sure I could have Joe dig it up and we could play it. But
I have the quote for you.
But the moral of the story is that he feels bad. And I think he feels bad because of the state of the game.
He says, I'm remorseful for everything that happened in 2017, for everything that we did as a group, and for the players that were affected directly by us doing this. That's why I feel more regret, and that's why I'm remorseful. So, good.
Yeah.
Feel it.
And I honestly think... This is like an Andy Pettit situation all over again. If you just say, I'm sorry, people are going to gravitate towards that. And what makes me very hesitant that that is what's going to go down for this Astros press conference is AJ Hinch. AJ Hinch never said he was sorry. He said that he knew what was going on and tried to stop it. And then they asked him, why didn't you stop it? And he said, that's something I'm going to have to think about.
And then when asked about the other stuff, he was like, oh, it's all just, you know.
Yeah.
That's something that people are going to have to try to figure out for themselves. He was strangely noncommittal for having lost his job about this.
I know.
And apparently in the report, not being that huge of a factor outside of not stopping it. Why not just go full, like, scorched earth on it?
It's so strange to me. And it makes me think... that AJ knows if he goes after those guys, they have dirt on him. It's the only thing.
But wouldn't the...
Wouldn't
have the investigation found... I mean, the investigation found what felt like everything, right?
I doubt it's everything.
They don't know anything about the buzzers.
You never know.
Right?
Like, the buzzers, and if AJ Hinch gets to a point where he's like, hey, you guys are being sloppy. People are starting to notice. Cut this S out. Because you're getting arrogant. But I mean, keep going. Just don't be as crazy as you are. You know, it's like a cokehead. It's like, hey, you can bump some lines of cocaine every night, but don't be doing eight balls every single day. And I feel like I wonder if that's the AJ Hinch approach, is if he didn't love it, but let it go. And he was the protector when it got out of hand. And that is why, because it doesn't make any sense. I'm with you. You were saying this. It doesn't make any sense why AJ Hinch would not own it, because he's not owning it. He's like, ah, yeah.
Well, he likes.
I wish.
I would say he sort of owned it.
Oh, geez, shucks. I wish I could have done more. He sort of owned it so he can get another job.
The interesting thing, again, this is from my Yankees perspective, just because I've been following the Yankees today, but Aaron Boone came out and said some comments about it. He goes, I'm really good friends with AJ Hinch. We grew up playing baseball together. He goes, I can't speak to him in person yet. I'm not saying the exact quote, but he basically said, we've texted back and forth a little bit, but I haven't spoken to him in person yet because I don't know what I would say. I don't know how I would handle it. And it's like, that's the interesting part about this is how many, that's like the side part. How many damaged relationships, right? How many people that trusted you are now like, oh God, is he really that person that I thought he was? You know, I don't know.
It's just so ridiculous to me. It's unbelievable.
Did you see the story in the Washington Square Journal?
About the Nationals?
Washington
Square Washington Journal. Post?
No, the WSJ, the
Wall Street Journal.
There you go. That's the word. Washington Square. That's a mall in our state. They had all the information about, like, the emails that were sent to the front office and about how they called it code breaker and, like, the dark arts. And they were flaunting about their system. Basically, it started because they would go in the film room and try to decode the catcher signs, and they would relay it as teams have been doing, right? Oh, tell the base runner what the signs are and da-da-da-da. And then Beltran and Cora were like, why not just put a monitor there so that we can do it every pitch? And they were so proud of it, right? And they kept sending it up the ladder up to Lunau. And Lunau, part of the report is that Lunau is denying it because he said he never read full emails. He would read like the first two paragraphs and then be like, good information. And this was always at the bottom of the email.
Fair enough. I know a lot of people that do that.
I mean,
that.
That's possible for sure. But there's also other people in that story that corroborated that Lunau knew what was going on.
Yeah.
I mean, multiple people talking about code breaking and dark arts and all that kind of stuff. I mean, this came from an intern. The intern was the one who started the system. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. I love this text on the fan text line 55305. I wonder if Justin Verlander, who sits on his throne of lies, complaining about cheating, feels bad for cheating. We mentioned this a couple weeks ago, and I never hated Justin Verlander. As much as he destroyed my team as a Tiger when he went to Houston and won a World Series, I said, you know what? Good for you, man. But there's no way he didn't know this was going down. Well, I hate Justin Verlander.
I think every player knew it was going down, right? I hate him. There was also a story I saw. I don't know if you read this one. It had to do with Beltran. Is that since he was the veteran, no players, because they were young, felt comfortable standing up to him.
Understood completely. That's a power play.
But Brian McCann stood up to him. You know Brian McCann's big into like the
Brian McCann's very big into the right way to play the game. Unwritten rules.
Brian McCann stood up to him and said, this is not right. And Beltran just went, yeah, okay, and shrugged him off.
Okay, boomer.
Yeah, basically. And just kept doing it, although he's older than Brian McCann. And it's like, okay, Z-er. It's like,
yeah,
they tried to stop it.
People did try to stop it.
And a couple of the big personalities in that clubhouse kept it going.
How do you think it? Yeah. Is there anybody? I don't think there's any player in Major League Baseball right now that I can hate more than Justin Verlander. I just don't like that. I don't like that I'm on a high horse and you got to follow the game, yet he knew this was going on. In fact, I would argue that's a big reason why they beat the Rays last year is because they were cheating. Verlander got lit, but they somehow won the game. Why? Because
Glasnow got lit.
They got to Glasnow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only thing that I will say that will give them a little defense to the Astros is that multiple teams at that point in the season, especially in the playoffs, they go to the craziest lengths to not have their sign stolen, right? So they're changing the sequence constantly.
Mm-hmm.
So there's only so much a camera in center field looking at the catcher's fingers can do if they're constantly changing their sign sequence.
Right.
So, you know, maybe in some defense, that means that in the playoffs they didn't do it that way, or maybe they only did a little bit or something, right? I don't know. Maybe they were also really good at decoding the pitcher, right? We always said, like, Paxton and Glasnow got caught, like, tipping their pitches, and all of a sudden they're, like, wiggling the ball around in their mitt every single pitch.
Hi, my name is Yu Darvish.
Yeah.
What up?
So, I mean, some of that could have been sign stealing, but also maybe that was just the secondary part of it. Guess what? We know your signs half the time, but then we also are really good at figuring out what you're going to throw.
Yeah, who knows? Anyway, we'll keep an update on that. We'll keep an eye on it. And if any more fallout comes, especially when the Red Sox thing comes down, I find it real strange that we haven't heard anything yet. But what that's going to be like makes me think that something absolutely crazy might happen. So we're obviously going to watch that story and keep that up. But I want to get into, as we get into the 8 o'clock hour, we'll have Fair or Foul in 15 minutes. But I want to get into new rules. Before we get into new proposals, I want to get into new rules taking into effect for 2020. Most of it's garbage, but one of them is kind of an interesting thing, and we'll see how that goes. We'll do all that next. That's Mike Lynch, Joe Fisher behind the glass. I'm Patrick Harris, 1080 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.